Welcome back, college basketball fans, to Hoops HD's continuing coverage of the 2018-19 season. Tonight is Under the Radar, right?
It is.
All right. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, John Stalica.
Yep.
Under the Radar. David, what's the show about, Under the Radar? What does that mean?
Under the Radar. Well, it is basically the opposite of what you see on SportsCenter. We focus on the 22. What's that?
It's about cricket?
Yeah, it's about cricket. Well, no, it's college basketball. It's focusing on the 22 regular one-bid leagues. So that is everybody that is not the Power Five. That's the ACC, SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten, and Big 12. The other five multi-bid leagues, regular multi-bid leagues, there's going to be a couple that probably only get one this year, but the Atlantic 10, the American, the Big East, the Mountain West, and the West Coast. It's basically everybody else, unless, of course, one of the teams from those 22 leagues cracks the top 25, and we have one in there. We went several years without having one, but Buffalo, I think for the third straight week in the rankings, having a real good season, unbeaten, very deserving of their rankings. So we won't mention them later on. Well, we might mention them indirectly, but other than right now, to explain, they are not under the radar.
Right.
And then we also have another team like Furman, who's on the doorstep at number 28 in the polls.
Really should be ranked. It's kind of ridiculous that they're not.
Should be ranked. And when we talk about Under the Radar, we actually were going to have one more person on the podcast tonight, our good friend Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. He was going to come to us live from a game tonight, David, but then we found out what game he was at.
Yeah, he's at the North Carolina-Michigan game, right, you know, was comp tickets. I think he's right on press row. He had interviews lined up with coaches. We were pretty excited, but we're like, that's not under the radar.
Well, so we throw him off.
Yeah, so we throw him off. Like, we don't want to hear from Warren Williams, not on this show.
North Carolina-Michigan, who cares about that nonsense?
Right, yeah.
What we do like to do is go through all the scores and go through upcoming games in these conferences. And we like to start with a feature conference. And if I can pull it up on the screen here in any second now, our feature conference for this week is one of our favorite conferences here at Hoops HD. In fact, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the good old SWAC.
Yeah, kind of interesting. We were talking off the air, and I thought it would just be a given that this is where we would start based on what happened earlier this week. You weren't as impressed by this. I'm trying to think of when I say bigger surprises, like what games were less probable to happen than this one? And the two I can come up with are Chaminade over Virginia, and I think that was in the early 80s. And the other one, was it 04-05 when North Carolina went out to Santa Clara for a game in an NBA arena and got beat? That was the year North Carolina earned a one seed, won the national title. And another one that comes to mind, I forget the year, Kansas lost at TCU, who TCU – ranked outside the top 200, finished outside the top 200, and Kansas ended up with a one seed that year. I think it is on that tier, and I think it is not as important as UMBC beating Virginia, but more surprising.
Obviously, that's why I disagree with you, David. I mean, UMBC was a 16 seed, which is what Texas Southern – I mean, Texas Southern is not the bottom of the SWAC. Texas Southern is probably going to be in the NCAA tournament from what we've seen so far this year. They are probably going to be a 15 or a 16 seed. And Oregon is definitely not a one seed, and nobody's thinking them as a one seed. I would think this would be more of a, maybe like a, the equivalent of winning the NCAA tournament, maybe a 14 seed wins. I mean, still a significant upset, like when Lehigh knocked off Duke, that type of thing. That's what I equated this with. Huge upset, but I don't think it's the greatest upset of all time.
Yeah, I was shocked. I could not believe it. I think Oregon has won 52 of their last 55 at home. If you go back, I stopped counting 2012. They were 114-13 at home since then. They're ranked in the top 25. They lose at home not quite as infrequently as Kansas does, but it's pretty close. And the notion that a ranked Oregon team that dominates that court would lose to another ranked team is extremely rare. It's happened maybe once a year, if that. To lose a home bye game to a SWAC team floored me. And to your point, Chad, and I hate yielding to you, the reaction to this wasn't anything what I was thinking it would be. I thought I was going to wake up the next morning and it would have been dominating the headlines, but no one really noticed.
And again, maybe it's because of how bad the Pac-12 has been also. But remember last week's podcast, we were asking the question of whether any of these SWAC teams would win any games against D1 foes. And I was feeling kind of good about myself for a few days after having picked out Grambling to win the game at Niagara, which they did win. John, let me bring in on this. I'll give David credit that that Texas Southern game blew me away for, in that regards, at least.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Grambling winning, but even Arkansas Pine Bluff actually won a bracketed event. Granted, it was an undercard event that was the Las Vegas Holiday Invitational, I guess you could say middleweight bracket that was actually played at Little Rock. So they get a win against a game Cal Baptist team and then actually win at Little Rock the following day.
Yeah, so nice showings by three teams, I guess, this week's picking up D1 wins, which is – it's been a long time since I remember three D1 wins in non-conference play, all on the road out of the SWAC. So congratulations there.
Yeah.
With you know, only one winless team, although a bunch of these, some of these teams only have non-D1 wins.
Right.
But let's take a look at what's coming up this week, David. And where are we, what are we going to see this week from the SWAC? Where's our big wins coming from this from now?
Is that correct? Alabama A&M hosting UAB. Wow.
We're going to have to double check on that one.
Not
to mention Austin Peay as well.
That game is UAB. Alabama A&M is hosting UAB tomorrow night. Yes, yeah, so they are.
Wow.
And Austin Peay. Wow. That might be some type of event, but I don't see that any event listed there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I don't – Alabama A&M is atrociously bad. A lot of things working against them. They have the APR woes. They underwent a coaching change after, was it Donnie Marshall? I think that was his name. He'd been an assistant to Mike Davis and I think at FIU before that, only there 1 year. So they have a lot working against them. And how hard is it for a school, since we're on the SWAC, it's a league that we typically pass over rather quickly, even when we get into league play. We had some fun with Texas Southern last year. But just since we're on it, and I know we didn't plan to do this, how much of an uphill climb is it, not just for Alabama A&M, they might be the extreme example, but for any of these programs? Because you look at their schedules, they're playing 9, 10, sometimes 11, sometimes all of their out-of-conference schedule is road bye games.
Yeah, here's Texas Southern's schedule, for example. Look at all that. Only home game is Houston yeah. Tillotson tomorrow night. That is.
Right, and that is their one and only home game from the start of the season. You know, so all of November, all of December, and two-thirds of January, they're at home once.
But the other crazy thing is games like Georgia, Lamar, may actually be winnable for the Tigers.
The way they're going, you know, you're right. Georgia should watch out. Tulane should watch out. Lamar should watch out. Texas A&M should watch out. I mean, the only game that I'm writing off now is that loss is the Arizona State game.
Yeah.
They'll probably win that one too, for all I know.
Yeah, I know.
But I guess why don't we move on to some other conferences? Now that we know what's going on in the SWAC, and let me see if I can't get the America East up here. Maybe I'll throw up the Atlantic 10 like we did last week.
No, one of these days we're going to start with the WAC and just work our way backwards.
We could do that also.
We did relegate a conference once. It might happen to the Atlantic 10. I tweeted out, they are to basketball what reheated nachos are to food this year.
Oh, God. Well, the America East, though, and on a more serious note, John, real nice week for Stony Brook, who's continuing to impress.
Well, one of the reasons I had Stony Brook in my first bracket projection, they've gotten off to a nice start with wins against teams like South Carolina on the road and also Rhode Island on the road. Yep. And then they follow that up with a win at Norfolk State. So it's definitely looking good for Jeff Bowles and company.
Doing a hell of a job.
Yeah. David, I mean, Vermont, I still think there's some life in this team, although they're a little disappointing with the home loss to Bucknell over the weekend.
Yeah, you were kind of expecting them to get that one. Interesting game there since you brought it up. Bucknell, Vermont, two teams that for the last two or three years, and maybe even longer, sort of kings of their leagues, but they lost so many seniors and so many key players But despite that, Vermont seems to have, for this to be a reloading year or a rebuilding year, they're doing very well. 4-3, played Louisville tough, played Kansas tough.
They won at GW tonight also.
Yeah, won at
by game.
Yeah. Yeah, the Atlanta reheated nachos, Chad. Reheated nachos.
they were pretty good reheated nachos tonight, though. Yeah. A little hot sauce on them, too, I guess.
Right, but having a really good year, especially when you consider how much they lost. And when they do get in the league play, I think they're going to be a force. Like, in UMBC, got a nice game against Northern Kentucky I believe, Stalika's neck of the woods coming up.
Coming up. I was like, okay, I didn't see that.
Wait a minute. Yeah, we're not to that.
Okay, so there's the upcoming games. Yes, UMBC is at Northern Kentucky coming up Friday night, Stalika in your neck of the woods.
That will be in my neck of the woods, and they'll actually be following that up with a little more winnable game at Coppin State, but we didn't allude to this earlier. UMBC did also lose to American at home last Saturday. Mm-hmm.
Hartford at Duke Wednesday, David, are you calling the upset?
No.
Oh, okay.
Hartford a little underwhelming. I know that
with them so far.
Yeah, me too.
Atlantic Sun, you see North Alabama there in red. They are ineligible for postseason play. That is why they are in red. By the way, just like we discussed in the Hoops HD report, we do have the net rankings out here that are showing up on the screen also. NJIT, the former team of the people, nice week with two road wins at LIU Brooklyn and at Drexel, David. Still paying attention to them?
I mean, we kind of pretty much have to. I mean, jumping out to a 7-1 start, and like you said, 6-1 against D1, and I think that's 3 or 4 on the road for them. So real good start for NJIT, a team that we weren't expecting much out of in this conference. But a lot of teams, Liberty kind of been kind of a surprise. I know that their schedule's been weak, but they did have one decent win.
They won at Navy, and they beat this year's team, the people, Savannah State, at home this week.
Yeah. So they're kind of off to a good start. I still think that Lipscomb is – just in another league. I think that it's going to be an exciting race for second place when this league gets started. But Lipscomb, so good. They have at least three, and it might be 4 road wins. I don't have their profile in front of me, but winning at SMU, winning against a ranked TCU team, and then blasting, I think it was Morehead State the other night. Yeah,
they completely annihilated what I thought was a decent Morehead State team. Their only loss was the Battle of the Boulevard to Belmont. We discussed the huge wins at TCU and SMU that we discussed last week.
Yeah, we'll get into this a little later, but Morehead does seem to do a little bit better against the power programs than the under-the-radar programs. Yeah. How does that sound?
John, here's our upcoming schedule in the A-Sun. As it comes up here on the screen, NJIT we just discussed is at Lowell and then hosting Army. Lipscomb at Middle Tennessee would have been a great game last year. I'm not this certain about this season, though.
Well, it's a game you can't be overlooking because we know what's coming on Tuesday, and that's the second leg of Battle of the Boulevard, which will be at Belmont's campus this time around.
Yeah. One of the great rivalries out there. Definitely tune in for that game coming up Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if it's not our under-the-radar game of the day that day.
Right. And the other thing, it might be for bragging rights for the best team in the city. As good as Vandy is, I'm not convinced they're as good as Belmont or Lipscomb.
Heading over to the Big Sky Conference, John. I guess they have Sac State still 3-0, but you know, they haven't played anybody. When are they going to play some games?
Well, they did get one game against a decent Cal State Fullerton team on Saturday. But other than that, not too much on their profile yet.
Yeah, and David, I know that some of the computers are liking this Northern Colorado team. In fact, you know, if you look at Joby's metrics, you're seeing he likes Northern Colorado, Montana, even Southern Utah, a little bit of noise. They're all top 100 in the net as well.
Well, I was big on Montana. They're without a key player tonight. Real disappointing second half against Creighton after hanging with them for a half. They had a nice win against Georgia State. We'll get to Georgia State a little bit later. I still think Montana is the class of this league, especially once they get back to full strength. But, yeah, not certainly not happening tonight.
And Idaho, oh, how the mighty Vandals have fallen.
Yes.
Northwest Nazarene knocking them off in an event that they were hosting. It was in Boise. It wasn't on their home court, but it was an event that they were hosting.
That's what happens when you're not able to replace the talents of Victor Sanders and Chad Sherwood. Hey, you're not doing it all by himself.
Chad Sherwood cannot be replaced, as we know here in Hoops HD, because otherwise David Griggs would be hosting the show.
Yeah, well, it can be replaced. Northern Colorado currently winning on the road against Front Range rival Denver. We love the Front Range.
We love the Front Range.
Yeah.
Let's head over. Let's look at the upcoming schedule here. First of all, we mentioned there's two games that are going on tonight. In terms of the rest of the upcoming schedule, I guess that BYU Weber State game is a big in-state, is part of the in-state rivalry there.
BYU, I'm assuming they lost to Illinois State. I had it on, but now
they did lose to Illinois State in overtime tonight by three points. Yes.
Yeah.
And as Chad was talking about Sacramento State earlier, not likely they'll remain one of the 20 remaining unbeaten teams with trips to UC Santa Barbara and Cal State Northridge looming.
Yeah, I expect that they're going to lose more than their share of games this year. But right now, still among that group of undefeateds.
Yep.
David, the Big South Conference is coming up next year. And for some reason, Gardner-Webb, they play a conference game? Yeah, they did. They played a conference game against Upstate already. Yeah, that's kind of strange.
So Gardner-Webb out to first place in the league.
And so everybody's got to have them in as their automatic bid right now, right?
The thing is that some of these chowderheads that do these bracket projections would probably do that. Of course, I should talk. I do bracket projections after the first day of the season. But Radford, I believe they're 5-2 now, went down tonight against West Virginia, but played pretty well. You can't really hold that loss against them. I've been more impressed with them than anybody else that I've seen so far.
Yeah, there's Radford's schedule. They played tonight. Game doesn't seem to be on there. They played Radford tonight?
No, they didn't. I'm thinking of Rice.
Radford played Radford?
Radford did not play West Virginia tonight. I don't think they played them at all this season.
They didn't.
They've won at Notre Dame. They've won at Bill and Mary, and they lost the neutral court game to Duquesne. I think they've been very impressive, and they got, you know, five in a row coming up on the road, including at Texas and at Clemson and at Greensboro. Some great games coming up.
Right. Full disclosure, I think I was thinking of Ryder, and I know Radford and Ryder are absolutely nothing alike in any way. It's just been a long day.
We'll go back and we'll edit that part out of the podcast.
Yeah, good. Let's go back and edit that. And again, and I say this probably at least once a show, you really should be watching something else.
You really should. John, anything else you're going to look forward to this week in the Big South, or is it just what Radford does at this point?
Well, we'll look for a cameo of the team of the people visiting first place Gardner-Webb.
First place Gardner-Webb. It might be there for a while. It's a very strange early season conference game, but let's move on, John, over to the Big West Conference, where we do love this UC Irvine team after a 6-1 start now.
Eaters!
Picked up a... Did they win this week? They didn't play this week, did they?
Did they play?
They did not pick up anything.
Okay, they did nothing this week. So great week by Irvine.
Yeah, they're not playing tonight. How they play tonight?
Are they playing tonight? Well, let's find out when their next game is, because we don't know what the hell we're doing on this show. We can't even.
Yeah, as I said, they got St. Mary's. They're playing right now.
They are playing St. Mary's tonight right now. Let's get a score update. They are down 1 point, down 18-17 early in the first, about midway through the first half. So. You know, if they won that game, they're great. If they lost that game, they suck.
Yeah.
And since we cannot update Irvine, we'll give you an update on Hawaii, who's going to be playing their second of three tournaments, first of two bracketed tournaments, where they actually finished a respectable fourth place in the Wooden Legacy over the weekend. They were a surprise winner against Utah, but two losses after the fact.
Yeah, fourth place, but fourth place means 1-2, so it's not – Well, they picked up a win. That's all they did. They picked up one win. They're getting absolutely destroyed by UCLA as we record this also. Let's go to the Colonial. College of Charleston and Delaware. I'm not a believer in David. I don't know if you are or not at this point.
I like CFC. James Madison has looked good at times, but really I'm all in on Charleston and not anyone else. And I don't Let's see. Are they playing tonight?
I think no. Delaware beat Louisiana Tech on Monday, but they did lose to UNC Greensboro at home, which is not a bad loss. But I think Delaware, there's a chance they could be, Hank, getting pretty close to the under the radar top 10.
I don't believe in them, John. I think that that Louisiana Tech wins a real nice win, but that may be more a factor of that. Maybe Louisiana Tech is not what we thought they were. I mean, Charleston beat Memphis this week. That's what, you know, that's
quality. Yeah. Earl Grant, again, I understand going with Penny Hardaway. Earl Grant has done an amazing job at that program. I don't think many people watching this remember just how bad they were when he got there and just what an utter mess they were in. To get them turned around, tops in the league, at or near the top, this would be 3 years in a row now. And now it does. I don't even think anybody can touch them in this conference.
Yeah, this week they're going to be hosting Charlotte, and I think that's the only game. Yeah, I think that's the only game they have this week, if I'm reading the screen correctly.
Yeah.
Delaware is at Eastern Shore and at Columbia, and then hosting Navy. So, John, they could pick up some more wins, but I'm just not seeing any real wins here. I'm not seeing – I think it's a fake Delaware team at this point.
Well, remains to be seen, but I also want to pay attention to Tuesday night where Northeastern will be making a trip to the Carrier Dome to play Syracuse.
After what Syracuse did to Ohio State tonight, I don't know. I think it's going to be a very bad trip for Northeastern, honestly.
Northeastern has disappointed before, and they're disappointing us again. So.
This is the conference that we almost started the top of the show with. I really want to discuss some Conference USA tonight because – we were talking about this conference as could it be a multi-bid league this year, and what an awful week for the Conference USA. I mean, horrible. Atrocious.
Yeah, it really was. You know, La Tech, I still like La Tech, I think, better than anyone else in the league, but they missed some opportunities. And when you're in an under-the-radar, when you're an under-the-radar team, it is a rough road to toe because you essentially, in the first 6 weeks of your season, have to get the kind of wins to make your case, or at the very least, avoid losses to teams that are not solid tournament teams. La Tech unable to do that. And again, it wasn't a bad team that they lost to, but it's the kind of team that you need to expect them to win. North Texas going down hard in their game earlier that dropped them from the unbeaten after winning some decent games. Southern Miss losing to an NAIA team and then sweating out, I think it was North Alabama tonight.
South Alabama.
South Alabama. Real unimpressive all the way around. Western Kentucky, disappointing. They have the neutral floor win against West Virginia, but they're losing games, again, to teams that are not top 40, top 50, not in the tournament picture.
But I think the other pleasant surprise as far as Conference USA, well, most teams have disappointed. Teams that are usually in the cellar, like Florida International and Florida Atlantic, have been pleasant surprises this year.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida National, John, a great win over Ave Maria this week.
And then beating the once proud Florida Gulf Coast Eagles on the road, but that's not pulling the same weight that it has in years past.
Yeah, they both beat Florida Gulf Coast this week, both Atlantic and International.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst part is that awful floor at FIU, so I don't even want to talk about that. But let's take a look at what's coming up this week in CUSA and see if you know they can have a few chances here to rebound from the atrociousness of this past week. Yeah. Florida National is at Arkansas, John. I mean, there's a real test for them.
Hey, look, UAB is going to Alabama A&M. Are we sure?
Yes, we have confirmed that one, David. You know, anything else that's worth circling here?
I
would probably say one of my favorite colleges, Rust College, going to Southern Miss.
I'm actually looking forward to it. It's going to come up next week. We'll be talking about a game that's going on, you know, on the
Marshall.
But the Marshall Duquesne game, yeah. Very, very kind of excited about that one. I think that could be a real good one.
Right. Duquesne, one of the high spots of the A-10 this year, one of the only ones. And boy, are things in rough shape when Duquesne is.
Over in the Horizon League, Sleeka, it's in your back door. So you want to talk a little NKU?
Well, NKU had their first test, you could say, going to Central Florida, but they were not able to pass that test this time around. But they do rebound with a double-digit win at Morehead State.
Yeah, and David, How about IUPUI? How about what they did, not only beating a half-decent Grambling team in terms of swag standards, but knock off a Bradley team that we thought was showing some life?
Yeah, and Bradley had played well coming into the year, only had one loss, and IUPUI keeping them at arm's length the whole game. I think they ended up winning that one by double digits. Have the win at Boston College. Now, I mean, BC kind of lacking a lot, particularly talent and good players. But other than that, still a real nice win there. And if you look at their two losses, one, they actually battled Xavier Xavier, I think, blew it open at the end. But they were right in there late into the second half. So IUPUI, not even picked to finish in the top half of this conference preseason, looking pretty good.
Yeah, but David, they also lost to a non-D1 school. So, or is Richmond D1 this year?
They are not.
Okay. That's a very bad loss at the end of the day. but definitely shown some life for UEPUI there. But let's go on to the – let's take a look at what they're going to be doing this next week, and then we'll go on to the Ivy League after that. But upcoming games, IUPUI is hosting Ball State. Northern Kentucky is hosting UMBC. And then at Cincinnati, that could be an interesting game.
Yeah, and again, those two kind of an interesting relationship. Cincinnati playing their home games at NKU's arena last year. I don't know if that's a home and home or not. I'm under the impression that it is, but it may not be.
My understanding is it's a 2-for-1 that you're talking about between UC and NKU.
Yeah.
John, Ivy League, we have been a little disappointed in this conference. Nobody has really shown much of any life here at all.
Penn at Delaware State would probably be the first result you would be looking at, but even Princeton struggling a little bit against a Monmouth team that is way down compared to where they've been in the past.
Yeah, Harvard disappointing, only 3-3 against D1. It may just be we're not going to really talk Ivy League seriously until conference season rolls around and they get their conference season running started real late. But David, anything you like this week? A nice bye game for Princeton, at least.
Oh no, not really this week. Yeah, yeah, taking on Joe's. Joe's.
Saturday game.
Yeah. Cornell Syracuse, because of, I guess, the series. Princeton's got a bye game as well. Yeah,
Princeton's bye game against GW. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's, what do we want to do? Why don't we go on to another conference here? And David, why don't we talk about a little Metro Atlantic, and which is probably the Ivy League.
Yeah.
Now you can talk about.
Ryder. Yeah. They've shown some signs of life. Nobody else really has. I think that this is going to be a league that, despite it being as weak as it is this year, way weaker than what we're used to, it's still going to be fun when they get into conference play. It's just a fun league, fun rivalries. You know, Manhattan, Iona, Siena Marist. How do you not get pumped for that? But yeah, we're looking at the 15-16 line, I think.
Yeah, look what GW did to Manhattan. If you were paying close attention there, we just saw a little instant update as the Kentucky's Monmouth score went final also a few minutes ago. Completely ugly, though.
Monmouth really, I mean, after having a really good team for 2 years and a pretty good team last year, really, really bad this year.
I asked this question before. Did King Rice kind of blow his opportunity for a bigger job? Because he was in discussions, and I don't know that he's going to have that anymore. But he's got to turn it around again there.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, I like the guy, so I think he's still a good coach. I think he will get it turned around, but a real major step back for Monmouth this year.
Right. Well, what do you think of – and again, just real quick, because it's been a bad league. It's been kind of disappointing. But the things that this has given us over the years, the shadow handshake, the Twitter feud that Tim Kluse himself got into with the Monmouth bench, it was phenomenal.
It's still a fun league, and I love this league. Being a New Jersey resident myself, you know, we've got between Ryder and St. Peter's and Monmouth all, you know, in my neighborhood here. You know, it's a fun conference to watch, and I think it will be fun when we get to conference play.
Okay. Now, I do have to ask, who do you take in the battle of the Bronx between Fordham and Manhattan?
Oh, I think Fordham wins huge because that's how bad Manhattan is this year. What Manhattan did against GW is just disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, we are not going to be discussing that team that begins with a B at the top of the Mid-American Conference, but we've got three other teams at 6-1 in Kent State, Central Michigan, and Toledo. And John, I know you're high on this Toledo team.
Toledo is one of the teams I'm going to be high on because of their performance in their exempt tournament about a week ago, but they've had some bit of a rest time since then. So we'll also focus on Kent State, who actually won the Commodore Classic, which was more of a round robin event, going 3-1, including the win at Vandy on Friday.
David, anything else that you see that you've seen from these leagues? Because we've got a little action here beyond Buffalo, even.
Yeah, I mean, I like Akron too. I think that they could be that they're going to be pretty tough. I know that they have 2-1, but I mean, it was really strong competition. And Kent State Akron, that's always a fun rivalry, maybe the biggest under the radar rivalry there. But yeah, a real fun league. I'm not as big on Central Michigan as I am on Akron, Kent, and Toledo.
Xavier and Mother Miami used to have a pretty decent rivalry as well, but now it's just the occasional bye game, and Xavier does what they rarely do to the Red Hawks, and that's just completely blow them out of the water.
Upcoming games there, Central Michigan, if they do have anything, we'll find out Friday night when they're at TCU. And I'm not certain what else we're looking for there. That doesn't involve Buffalo, I guess.
Right, yeah.
We'll be looking at Toledo hosting Cleveland State and Detroit on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, they shouldn't have too much trouble with that.
All right. Moving on to the MEAC. There's the standings.
Yeah.
Also, if you look on the right-hand side,
what do we
have? There's the upcoming games for the MEAC. Okay, David, you want to move on to the Missouri Valley Conference, or you have something you want to say?
Real quick, Team of the People generating that revenue, doing a fantastic job with that. You'd like to see them be able to continue to do that in future years.
Well, and look at that. 2 D1 wins tied for the most D1 wins in the conference.
Now,
Howard, out to an amazing 5-2 start. You don't normally see winning records from the teams of the MEAC, although three of them were non-D1 games. So let's go over, we'll talk MEAC when we get to conference play a lot more. But, John, the Missouri Valley Conference, we've a couple games that just went final a few minutes ago, including Illinois State win over BYU that we already mentioned here earlier.
Hey, you talk about conferences like Conference USA that seem to be a little bit of a disappointment. The Missouri Valley is another conference where their window is shrinking as far as a possible at-large bid. Southern Illinois really wet the bed with a loss against UMass on Thanksgiving Day, but they did get a little bit of redemption with a neutral court win against Tulsa, as well as a win at Colorado State as part of the Valley and Mountain West Challenge.
Yeah, Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge going on as we speak. There are four games that have gone final, and the Valley has won three out of the four. The only loss so far is the Nevada Loyola Chicago game.
Yeah, and real good game there. A real good showcase game. It was, and I know that they were in the Final Four last year, and they had a lot of momentum, but that was at no point during the regular season did they get a home game with that kind of a spotlight on it. So it was kind of good to see that, but really Nevada just so good,
And here's the upcoming schedule in the Valley. You see if the rest of the games of the Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge coming up here. I guess they're all coming up tonight here, Indiana State, as we record this, these games going on.
Whose wonderful idea was it to include San Jose State and the Trees as part of this challenge?
Well, as we speak, they are down 32-14 to Indiana State. So the San Jose State is getting crushed as usual. I think the Valley is going to end up winning this challenge. But
yeah,
David, how about the rest of the week coming up here? Anything else that you're circling as we get into the weekend in the Valley?
Let me see. North Texas at the Trees, more or less because of North Texas than it is anything else. St. Louis, Southern Illinois might be kind of good. If I had to pick one, it would be that one.
Okay. Well, let me stick with you, David, and head over to one of our favorite conferences here, although, again, one that we don't speak much about this time of the season, the Northeast.
Yeah, I find it – I mean, we actually have three schools that have non-losing records against D1 competition. At the end of November, that's pretty rare for this league.
That is. You know, we've gotten, you know, big things like St. Francis Brooklyn with a nice win tonight at Presbyterian. It is a road win, not against a good team, but it is a road win. They actually, SFBK also won at Niagara, so they're piling up the road wins.
Yep, they are. So, but again, this is another one of those leagues that's just so much fun all the way. And the one thing that the Metro Atlantic doesn't do that they need to, that this league does, is take the tournament to campus sites.
Campus sites. Upcoming schedule, John, Sacred Heart at Boston College.
What about Niagara and STFU?
Niagara's been pretty awful this year, honestly. So I could see a blowout there by SFPA, STFU, whatever you want to call them. How about a St. Francis Brooklyn hosting St. Joe's?
Yeah,
Monday night.
That one's going to be fun, just because like Joe's going on the road to one of the greatest places you can play.
Yeah, it's St. Joe's Brooklyn, by the way. But
damn.
It would not be the St. Joe's that I think it's the St. Joe's that Jim Calhoun is coaching at in D3.
No, I don't think it's that one. I think that one's in Connecticut somewhere. But, John, the OVC, we have a couple teams we've got to discuss here, including an undefeated Belmont team, a one-loss Murray State team. Where do you want to start?
We could probably start with Murray State, because they blew their chance to – get some possible top 25 votes after stumbling at Alabama. No shame really in that.
Sorry. Go ahead, John.
No, you go ahead.
Well, they really did blow it. I think that they're as good or better than Alabama. They went to Bama, fell behind by double digits, came back and actually went up by double digits in the second half and couldn't hold on. Not to take anything away from Bama. They were at home. But this is a game you really felt like Murray State was good enough to win and should have won. And they don't get many chances like that.
And how about this Belmont team, though?
Really, and also good. Pay attention to a freshman named Nick Mazinski, who is going to be their starting center. Only a freshman, but has been averaging well north of 15 points in their first five games this year.
Mm-hmm. And on the other end of the conference, actually, they're 4-3 right now overall, David. I do want to make a quick highlight here to last night's game. Southeast Missouri State 72, Missouri S&T 69. they were down with under 10 seconds to go in this game. They were down big with about 2 minutes to go. It was a huge comeback to pull that game off against a non-D1 foe.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
Yeah. Let's take a look what's coming up this week in the Ohio Valley. Belmont tripped us to a Samford team that's had a little bit of life, and then they're at Green Bay, and then they're hosting Lipscomb. So a huge week for the Bruins.
Yeah, real big. I'm kind of curious to see this Samford game. I keep waiting for Samford to kind of come back down to earth, but they keep winning. I think they won the night, and a real big week for them.
And, John, can you give us a preview of Tuesday night's game that I just highlighted, the other big game on Tuesday night besides the Battle of the Boulevard?
Oh, you mean Fontbonne and Eastern Illinois?
Fontbonne! There's a school called Fontbonne.
I remember getting some mail from them in high school.
I don't even know who Morehead State is playing Friday night. I don't even know how you say that one.
So. Ohio Chillicothe.
They're only about 70 miles east of where I am. That's not too far.
Yeah. Wait. Ohio chili?
Yeah, free chili.
Free chili.
Yeah, we haven't been giving away free chili in a while.
There will be free chili at the Morehead State game.
Free chili.
Oh, this show is going off the rail now. Yeah.
You really should be. If you're still watching, why?
The Patriot League. I mean, American surprisingly off to a 4-1 start with a road win at UMBC and at VMI. Two nice road wins for the Eagles.
Yeah, real nice. I mean, yeah, two real nice road wins, especially that win at UMBC. I think that was pretty impressive. Boston U continues to be kind of schizophrenic, as do their opponents. But right now, Colgate maybe, but I'm kind of liking this American team right now.
But also keep an eye on a team like Bucknell, where they did show some signs of life with a win in Vermont that was mentioned earlier. But
yeah, also yeah, good point, John. Yeah.
Also the loss at home against Northeastern tonight.
Yeah. This next week in the Patriot League, we've got, if you want to talk about the American team, they're going to be hosting Wagner. They're going to be hosting STFU. I don't know that there's any other games where I'm really circling here as, like, must-see TV, though.
But I would say Bucknell should at least start padding the win column with games at home against Monmouth and, I guess you could say, reverse bye game at LaSalle.
Yeah.
Probably reverse bye game.
Yeah.
David, let's talk SoCon. This was our feature conference last week, and, I mean – this Furman team, you see them there, just missing the top 25. Number 4 in ESPN strength of resume. 18 in our Joby Nitty Gritty. Even the predictive metrics have them in the top 100. At least 2 out of 3 of them do.
Yeah, well, they're really good. And, you know, for them to get the wins that they did, they're 7-0, but they have not – it's not a 7-0 where they're just playing home bye games. They're playing bye games but on the road and winning them. So how can you not be impressed with this Furman team?
Yeah, let's put their resume up. I also want to put up the resume of a couple of the teams in this conference. Let's also put up that Wofford resume too. But Furman on the left there should be coming in with undefeated with the win at Villanova, the win at Loyola. They've got – don't really have any big tests coming up until the LSU game though.
Yeah, not until the LSU game. It's on the – but they should – I mean, again, they've got 2 more road games. They should win out going into that LSU game. And that might be more than what LSU – if they went out getting into LSU and they're 28th now, they're probably going to crack the rankings in it for that LSU game. Wofford, when you look at a couple of their losses, again, the Oklahoma game, Oklahoma doing a little bit better than I thought. But that was one, when I saw that on the schedule, even back in September, that I was expecting Wofford to be able to win. They've won all the rest, though. And, I mean, they just blasted South Carolina the other night. I turned it over, and it was more. The margin was more than 20 when I turned it over. I guess they ended up winning by 20.
I guess Wofford's problem here is they've got a couple more big conference, non-conference tests, but they are at Kansas and at Mississippi State. Those are over their head type of tests.
Yeah, I think. Well, at Kansas definitely is, and you're right, Chad. I mean, it's you have to test yourself, but you have to test yourself in a way that gives yourself a chance at winning. Those aren't winnable games. Maybe at Mississippi State, but it's you know, you kind of want to play somebody in the 20s. You don't want to play a Final Four caliber team.
But here's the kicker right here. The opening day for the SoCon is actually going to be on Saturday. So East Tennessee State is actually going to be going to Wofford for that one. So
yeah, definitely circle that game because it's East Tennessee State team, UNC Greensboro, Samford. We got a lot of quality teams in this conference. I think it's a conference we'll be playing a lot.
Yeah, in a real fun league here. If you look at it, and this is against, you know, a lot of teams with above 500 records, the Citadel kind of a surprise this year.
The Citadel has had more life than I ever remember. Look at that. They've got the best RPI in the conference, even better than Furman's right now.
Yeah.
Let's actually put the team sheet, see how they got there.
Right. So, but this Greensboro team, they won the league last year. They took Gonzaga to the wall in the round of 64. They've played well this year, yet they always seem to be kind of passed over. But they're really strong.
I would pull up East Tennessee State after we get to Greensboro here because they've been another great story with their win at Georgia Southern last night.
Well, yeah,
they real good. Greensboro on the right with the win over Louisiana Tech, the win at Delaware. Those are both Tier 2 wins, only the LSU loss. On the left there, you see the Citadel with both their losses, again, are Tier 1 losses. And they've got two of their wins, 2 out of 3 are on the road. So I think that road component is kind of the old RPI formula's got them there. John, we could pull up ETSU here also. That's going to be covered on the left.
Chad's amazing workbooks that he sent out.
ETSU, yeah, the loss to Georgia State, probably a game they should have won but still very good resume there.
Yeah, but they can say they're at least 1-1 against the Sun Belt, including their old conference foe in Georgia Southern. Even Creighton, somewhat of a missed opportunity for the Buccaneers, but there'll still be plenty of chances to pile up significant wins in the SoCon.
Yeah, talk about piling up wins. Samford with that 7-1 record. No quality wins, only one tough game. But David, they were in that Ohio State game for most of the game.
Yeah, they were. And that was, in again, like you say, no quality wins. I think I was most impressed with them with the one game that they didn't win because of how long they stayed in the game.
But, again, there we see the upcoming schedule. Belmont at Samford, again, where we've mentioned that game.
Yeah, that was going to be kind of fun.
Let's move on to the Southland Conference. A few more leagues to get through here. And, John, how about the undefeated Abilene Christian team?
This is something where you start to wonder just how inflated their record might be, but they actually had a pretty good weekend out west with wins against Elon at Pacific and UC Riverside in a holiday tournament at Pacific's campus. And then they follow that up with a win against the villain from Speed.
Howard Payne on the last night. David, also SFA, you know, we were down on them a little bit, but they are 4-1 overall, although three of those wins were...
only one of those was a D1 win.
yeah, and I believe that they are off to Northern Ireland as part of this event that's coming up this weekend as well. I think that they are the... first-round opponent for San Francisco, an undefeated San Francisco team. There it is. So. And possible game against Buffalo in the finals if they could beat USF. Mm-hmm. Anything else you're looking forward to this week, though? No. What's Abilene Christian playing? At Pepperdine?
Hosting Campbell.
Hosting Campbell.
Yeah. Kind of a okay, let's give Abilene Christian their moment here. They are undefeated. They're a recent transitional team. And it's hard to say that they're not doing well now. A lot of transitional teams in this league here, Incarnate Word, although they've had to sweat a little bit more, also recently coming up.
Right. I kind of circle that Campbell-Abilene Christian game on Tuesday night. You know, fun team to watch in Campbell. Assuming they're still Abilene's undefeated, if they pick up the win at Pepperdine, even potential under-the-radar game of the day type of game, John.
Yeah.
We already talked SWAC, so we'll skip that conference and we'll move right on over to the Summit League, where we want to talk about some disappointments. I guess the South Dakota State has picked up a couple of wins, including a win over UMKC tonight, but still, we've been very disappointed in the team so far this year.
Yeah, just not really looking the part. And again, like the two games that they needed to win, they came up short. Like the law. They were in an exempt tournament, and they missed a chance to get on the right side of the bracket and play against some quality competition. So a real bad trip to Florida. Can they come out of it? Do they have the opportunities they need to overcome that and maybe get on to or inside the bubble, or is it already too little too late?
We could pull up their team sheet here, in fact. And I guess the other team that, you know, I watched a lot of that game the other night of between South Dakota and Baylor, and South Dakota had a real shot to win that game, although people are winning at Baylor this year. So that's
right,
But the upcoming schedule for the rest of the season there for South Dakota State, not many chances. I mean, unless they win at Nevada and win at Memphis.
Yeah, and, I don't think they're going to win at Nevada. If they drop that one and win all the rest, then it's an interesting discussion. In fact, if they do that, that's probably enough. But They're basically out of strikes. They really needed to do well in that exempt event.
I'll tell you the thing that you circle here. I mean, I know it's still early and the numbers will change, but their non-conference strength of schedule right now is 335, and that's bad.
Yeah, it is.
And still lots of 300 games that are remaining non-conference. Yeah.
And the conference is not going to help them very much either. If you look at some of these records here from these teams and some of these numbers and these metrics and you know, and it really being in the wrong side of that bracket with that first round loss really hurt that strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. That South Dakota State at Memphis game is coming up Tuesday night. There's the rest of the schedule on the screen as well. Denver at Air Force, is that a front range game?
It is.
There we go.
It's a front range game.
That's Sun Belt Conference. Couple one-loss teams here and a very good Georgia State team as well. But, I mean, if you look at some of these metrics, that Georgia Southern, the ninth in the old RPI, two top 100 teams conference. Yeah, a little life in this league.
Yeah, Georgia Southern's actually good. I don't think that that's a mirage. Well, okay, I think ranking them in the top 10 is a mirage, but like in the 80s, in the 70s, I think that's about right. I think I've seen both them and Georgia State quite a bit, and they're both pretty good. Not as big on Texas State. I know they only have one loss, but like Georgia Southern and Georgia State haven't just won. They've done a little bit of heavy lifting, at least by under the radar standards. Right. Georgia, it's going to be fun kind of watching those teams go at it.
Georgia State with the win this afternoon over Tulane on the road. So that's another nice road win for them. Not a great Tulane team, but it's a quality win. It's a quality road win though, John, right?
Yeah.
Quality road win for Georgia State, but may not have been the best experience for some of the kids visiting Tulane this afternoon.
Well, I wouldn't know. I subscribed to that. Tulane was charging, and I just wasn't going to pay for it.
Upcoming schedule here. Georgia Southern at Arizona. Circle the game?
Yep. I think that one's a little – well, if they win that one, then suddenly we're talking about inside the bubble.
Also kind of circle Tuesday night, Georgia State at Alabama. That could be another really good game to pay attention to here this week. So some good games involving the Sun Belt in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. Let's head to the final conference of the night. There it is, the Western Athletic Conference. We can give a quick refresh here. We should have one more final coming in as we record this. There it is. We saw New Mexico State won at UTEP tonight also.
Yeah.
Now 5-1.
So. But yeah, New Mexico State, we were expecting it to be kind of a down year for them, a rebuilding year. If this is a rebuilding year, then that's a hell of a rebuilding year. Still really good. They're always going to be good. Chris Jans doing a really good job out there. Grand Canyon struggling a little bit.
I don't know. The Lopes, I mean, their losses were to Seton Hall and to Utah.
My God, they had a chance to beat Seton Hall.
Yeah.
You got to hand it to the Lopes fans at this exempt event on the road. I mean, they packed the place, so they travel well. They were into the game. It was fun to watch. I've been more impressed with New Mexico State up to this point.
John, last but not least, we've got the upcoming schedule here in the WAC. Is there any games that you were circling here? Well, actually, I think there's a big one to circle Thursday night. Is there not?
I'm sure you're not talking about Cal Baptist and UC Riverside, but rather one of Chicago State's crosstown rivals in East-West University.
David, it is the inaugural Battle of Riverside.
Yes, and we are dispatching – who are we sending? Are we sending Rocco out there?
We should send Rocco out there, definitely. Even if he can't make it, we're sending him anyhow.
We're sending him anyway.
Rocco, when you're watching this, you're going to Thursday night, you're going to Riverside. I know you're in Michigan right now. You got to make it there in a day, but we're setting it. Anything else important here?
Oh, boy. Oh, Chicago State. Oh, brother. East-West University. Maybe we'll send him. Same he's in Michigan. Let's send him to Chicago State.
We may have another under-the-radar game of the day coming up next Wednesday where UC Irvine actually goes to Cal Baptist.
But I guess on that note, it's top 10 time.
It is top 10 time.
And there's the top 10 list.
Yes, very nice.
All right, let's go ahead and pull up. Let's start with our honorable mentions first of all. Teams that received votes but did not make it in: Toledo, Texas Southern, Wofford, East Tennessee State, NKU. Good, not good enough.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That means Ooey Pooey is in.
Number 10. Georgia Southern.
Yeah, real good team.
Number 9.
Belonging in.
Recency bias, I think, from what they did tonight, but Ooey Pooey got enough votes to make the top 10.
Yeah. In my case, it was a little bit accumulative. The loss to Xavier impressed me, as funny as that is to say, but they've been getting it done. Although losing to the D2 team, as you said. They're the Eaters. The Eaters. Eaters tied with St. Mary's right now, by the way.
Coming in at 6, and coming in at number 7 is UNC Greensboro, a team we really like down the SoCon.
Yeah.
Number 6, we've got Stony Brook, the strength of what they've been doing so far in the America East.
Yeah, in doing away from home.
At number 5, Radford. Not Ryder, David.
Not Ryder. Not Ryder. Yeah.
Not Ryder is fifth. Another team that is not Ryder at number four.
Florida, yeah, also not Ryder.
How about the Owls way up at number four out of Conference USA? We said the conference is disappointing. This is the one team that has surprised us out of the league.
Yep.
The top three, I think, were almost unanimous, I think, in this order. At number three, Lipscomb.
Yeah.
At number two, of course, is Belmont. And at number one, absolutely, of course, should not be here next week because I think they belong in the top 25 and off of the radar, but Furman.
Yep.
On that note, we'll pull that down. And any other final thoughts, John?
Well, you've probably seen me tweet over the past couple of years the Hoops HD road trips that have been largely in the Midwest. But starting this year, we'll actually be taking the road out west since I will actually be on a work assignment out in the Bay Area for at least a month and a half. So keep an eye out for some new West Coast road trip stops.
Hold on. And you're going out there tomorrow, right, John?
Probably in a couple days.
Oh,
I will not be there in time for the Riverside matchup.
We were going to dispatch him to the Battle of Riverside, and you just totally screwed up, Stalika. David, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Okay, buddy, any final thoughts?
I do, and I was trying to figure what to close on, but like we'll go with Chicago State. I just kind of hate to see them struggle the way that they had, and they did show some life against an Illinois State team, hung in there as well as BYU did. I do have a suggestion, though. I think that they need to go out, open their staff, and bring in a winner, and the guy they need to bring in is this man right here, George Mason strength and conditioning coach. Handy and Durahan.
David, I kind of agree with you a little bit, but, budget is an issue at Chicago State.
Yeah.
Can they afford him?
I don't know. They got to figure it out.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we could start up a GoFundMe page.
GoFundMe. We should absolutely do that. Start a GoFundMe page to get Handy and Durahan to Chicago State. We might create that in the night.
The show has completely lost it. So, on behalf of John Stalika and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll put the GoFundMe link in the write-up. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon.